morning, if you'll be turning to Genesis chapter 4, we'll begin our lesson there together this morning. I appreciate so much your presence. I appreciate so much your interest in spiritual matters and wanting to be together with God's people and to worship Him today. In Genesis chapter 4, we have what we commonly refer to as the sin here of Cain and Abel, and in this story that is given here, but I want us to look at this and identify some of the basis that is involved here. It says in verse 1, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we see the difference between the two brothers here, that Abel had his flocks, Cain was a farmer. And so it came about in the course of that time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. So here's Cain bringing worship here to God. He is bringing this offering to God, and Abel does the same thing. It says in verse 4, on his part he brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So before he gets mad, the problem has originated with the worship that has been offered unto God, and what has been acceptable to God and what is not acceptable to God. The point of the story here and what happens is the sin that follows, and Cain becoming very angry and rising up and killing his brother. But let's not miss what happened before then, when they were bringing their worship before God and bringing their offerings to God. God was pleased with one, had regard for it, and God was also not pleased with one. There was something of what was brought that was acceptable and not acceptable to God. As you move over to the New Testament, all that space in between there in the Old Testament, you see this idea of these sacrifices and offerings and feasts and these remembering that they do throughout time. And all of this is under this pretense of worship and following through with God. And so that's what we're going to look at today, the idea of worship. What is worship? What is worshiping God? And what does all of that truly mean? That's what I want to try to answer today with you. It's a special day we have today. It's a special opportunity that we have to come together to a place and practice this worship that we have. Worship is this central theme of the Bible from beginning to end, and yet over time it changes in some facets. But the basis of it, I believe, remains the same throughout all of your Bible. Turn over to Romans chapter 1 real fast. If someone were to ask you a verse or phrase in the Bible that explains what worship is, I believe Romans 1:21 would be the verse. It would at least be a good verse to go to that you could show what worship truly is to God. Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. Here's the point of what he is saying here. Men are to be honored at times, and that's true, but God is something different. Sometimes we give our thanks and appreciation to an individual, but yet there's something different when it comes to God. It says here that they were to honor Him as God, and they didn't do that. They didn't give thanks to Him as God as they should have. So what's the difference here? What's the difference between honoring someone and honoring God? What's the difference between giving thanks to someone and giving thanks to God? Here is the idea that he's presenting here for them. The difference, I believe, is what you do. It's the reverence that we give in honoring God. It's the reverence or degree of reverence in honoring Him and giving thanks unto Him. Worship as a word is made up of these two parts. The original word is worth plus ship. Worth talks about the importance or the value or the merit or the excellence that something or someone has. And then the last portion of that, the ship, is the quality or the state of condition. So in its original form, the idea of worship is showing the condition of the value that we place upon something or someone. When we're talking about worshiping God, then, when we talk about it in this way, then we're saying that He is worthy of our reverence. He's worthy of honor. His excellence, His eternity, His power, His wisdom, His grace, His love. When we say we're going to worship God, that's the idea that we're presenting. That we see that God is of some that needs or deserves, this value of reverence to Him. That's what worship's all about. If you want to break it down into what worship is, it's truly this. We see God and we recognize that He's worth our attention. He's worth our attention for what He is. He's worth our attention for what He does. And therefore, we desire then to worship Him. Turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 20. John 4, I believe, shows the idea of how we worship. I think the basis of our lesson here in starting is recognizing that God's worthy of our reverence, and that's true. But then this has an effect then on our lives. Every decision we make, every step we take, everything that we do has a basis then back upon this. And while the Bible talks about specific acts of worship, I think it's inclusive of more than that at times. John 4 and verse 20. It says, "Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." So there was a time in which, and this was going to change, you see, there was a time in which people would go to a specific place to worship. As you look in the Old Law, you see this. People would go to Jerusalem. They'd make that trek three times a year. They would participate in the different sacrifices, for example, and assemble in Jerusalem. Those specific particular acts of worship were in something that was going to pass, Jesus is saying. And there's going to be something set up that is going to be new. There's not a designated place like there was in the Old Law. Not a place that geographically people were going to go to worship Him like Jerusalem was with these folks. And so as we study the acts of worship, I want we to understand what Jesus is saying here first, that something changes over time. It's not about the physical location of it, but it's about something else that comes beyond that. It's something more than this, as it becomes more of an attitude that we are to possess. And so, as you read through your New Testament, you see different acts of worship. You see the participation in the Lord's Supper, which we've done this morning. You see participation in prayer. You see giving. You see preaching or teaching or studying together, and many would call that acts of worship. You see singing together as acts of worship. Why? Why are those the acts? Why do we sing? Why do we pray? Why not do some other things? I mean, we could do some other things, right? I know. We could have David come up and show us about woodworking. Now, David does good woodworking. We've seen his work, several of us. And so we can have him come up and show us how to do a few things, right? God's given him the talent to do so. And so that we'll call that worship. Would that be okay? You know, it's a serious question, because many in the religious world might say, hey, that might be something we could do. People showcasing their talents. And because they have a talent and they're showcasing it, and we're going to say that came from God, so therefore it's worshiping God. But that's not what God authorized. That's not what God would have us to do. That would be a man-made act of worship. And we're not interested in things that man thinks God would be appreciative of, but we're interested in what God is appreciative of.